welcome to another Trev and Ben podcast. Hello, Ben.
Hello.
You all right?
Not too bad. Yourself?
It's a bit weird, this, because I can't see you. We're in different places today.
Yeah. I mean, normally we've got a couple of big bits of equipment in front of us anyway, so we can't see each other usually.
Yeah, but I can't gauge your facial expressions or anything today. The weird thing is we're not self-isolating yet, but the coronavirus...
No, we should point that out. We're not doing that.
But the coronavirus has sort of stopped us from getting together, really.
Yeah.
Basically, I tried to get to your house yesterday so that we could record this, and it was like people fleeing the zombie apocalypse.
It is weird out there at the moment. You cannot get into the shops. The cars were parked round the corner trying to get in, and people are just losing their minds.
We talked about it last week, and I was a little bit, perhaps, you know, glib about it last week, but it's just unbelievable. So yeah, I thought yesterday, I'd been in the car an hour, almost an hour, and I'd probably got quarter of a mile.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, it's just ridiculous. I abandoned it. So today I'm in my house, you're in your house, and we're using some form of technology to try and do this. So if I'm a little bit more echoey than normal, it's because I'm in one of my big rooms in my big house.
I see, right? Okay.
So look, are you coping with the coronavirus? You know, last week we were talking about the dangers of it or the shopping. Are you coping?
Yeah, last week it was really the toilet roll which had gone. This week it's hit the food. Now there's no pasta again. There's no tins of anything in my Sainsbury's. All the food is being taken. And most worryingly of all, it's now hitting the beer.
The beer?
The beer. You can't get beer in East Grinstead anymore.
Wow, I didn't know that beer was going to become a thing, because that's not on the list of, you know, essentials for survival.
I know. Well, for some people it is.
Well, look, beer might not be on a lot of people's lists. It's the things that people are stockpiling, obviously we talked about it last week, pasta, toilet roll and rice are amongst the big things.
Yeah.
But other things that people are stockpiling, tin food, makes sense, bread. I mean, bread's going to go off, and I suppose you can freeze it.
Yeah, you could freeze it, yeah.
Tissues, hand sanitizers, obviously. Now, here's a weird one. Flour.
Flour?
Flour.
Right, I suppose that's an essential.
Is it really? I don't use flour at all.
Do you not?
No, I can't tell you the last time I used flour.
So you're not much of a baker?
No, and to be honest, if we're in the height of some sort of apocalyptic times, I'm not going to be making cakes.
No, that is true.
The Great British Bake Off ain't going to need to be on telly. I'm not going to need any form of flour. That's an extraordinary thing. Biscuits is another thing people are going mad over.
Oh, it's very British, isn't it? Stockpile biscuits.
Yeah. I hope it's proper, like, you know, rich tea or digestives.
Oh yeah.
Would you go a bit posher? Like, if you think, well, this could be my last packet of biscuits, would you just go for the posh stuff?
I don't know. I'm quite a simple man when it comes to biscuits. I just quite like the, you know, Sainsbury's basic biscuits will do me. I'm not fussy.
Well, because I think if I knew that it was going to be my last packet of biscuits, what would I go for? Would it be the Jammy Dodger?
Oh no, it's got to be a chocolate digestive, surely.
A chocolate hobnob?
Nah.
No, not a chocolate hobnob. That's like the Rolls Royce of the biscuit world.
I'm not the biggest fan of the hobnob.
What have you got against a hobnob?
I've got nothing against it. It's just a biscuit, but it doesn't do it for me. That's all.
Wow, I've never met anyone who doesn't like a hobnob.
It's not that I dislike them. It's just they're not up there as my sort of best ever biscuit.
Well, what's a Sainsbury's basic biscuit?
Oh, it's just basically, like, instead of a McVitie's rich tea or a McVitie's digestive, you get the Sainsbury's digestives, and they're basically just as good, really.
Oh, fine. So just supermarket owned brand.
Cheaper, yeah.
Fair enough. Even at the end of the world, you're a cheapskate. Here's a weird thing. You know, last week we talked about sanitizers, hand sanitizers being nicked from hospitals and people stocking up on those.
Yeah.
Did you see this? These brothers who bought 18,000 of them.
No, 18,000 hand sanitizers.
Yeah, so they stocked up on them thinking, well, we can sell these at a profit online. And now they can do piss all with them, because all the kind of online stores, like, I suppose, eBay and all that sort of thing, have cracked down on people profiteering on the coronavirus outbreak. They're now stuck with 18,000 of these things.
Oh, serves them right, greedy shits.
I know, isn't that a bit of justice? Although, should they now not hand them out for free to people who need them?
No, they've got 18 grand of hand sanitizer to recoup. They're buggered.
Yeah, but I think they should hand them out for free now. I don't care whether they make any more money or not.
Oh, well, if you can't shift them and you've got no need for them, then the only decent thing would be to hand them out.
Yeah, quite right, to hand them out to all the elderly people who are now going to have to be holed up for 4 months. I was with my nan yesterday and I said, that's it now, you can't go out until August. And she was like, well, surely I can still go to the nursery. I mean, she still wants to buy plants.
Really? That's something we've actually noticed in our Sainsbury's, is they seem to have stopped selling flowers. Not just flower, but flowers as well. And I sort of thought, I wonder why they're doing that. And I just sort of think maybe storage space in the delivery vans is so crucial at the moment that they're forgoing things like fresh flowers. But obviously there is still a demand. Or your nan's got there before me and snapped them all up.
Yeah, she's like, I mean, that's the thing, right? I suppose for her, like, flowers just what brings her joy these days. So even in the height of a crisis, she still would like to get her flowers and plants in, and who can blame her, really?
Now, I don't mean anything rude by this, and I'm sure your nan is a lovely dear lady. However, you have been buying her plants for as long as I've known you. She must live in a jungle by now.
Yeah. No, she has got a lot of plants. That's a fair point. But sometimes when we go shopping and she goes to the nursery, my car looks like I've had an accident in the Amazon. Of course, you know, people's holidays are now being affected. People can't go away. I've got friends whose holidays are now absolutely buggered. They can't go away because you can't go abroad.
What about people who are already on holiday?
Well, here's a weird thing. My cousin is in Spain. I think he's gone out for a wedding, and he was saying that everything is shut. I mean, there's fuck all to do out there, and now we don't know if he's actually going to get home or not.
Wow.
I'm assuming that you can get home, but I don't know. You're going to have to go through some sort of, maybe some quarantine when you get back.
He's not one of those troublemakers, is he, in Spain?
What do you mean troublemakers? What are you talking about my family like this for?
Mrs. Ben was telling me just about half an hour ago that there's been a group of British tourists in Spain who've been walking outside the hotels chanting, "We've got the flu, na 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 na."
Well, I'm not going to put it past this family, but I can't think that would be something my cousin would do. No, how dare you even suggest that out of order?
You never know.
I tell you, there was a lovely thing that I saw in Spain, was that all the people that are now in their flats and in their homes, there was one particular area, kind of looked like lots of high-rise flats kind of in an area, and they all started playing music. They were just standing on their balconies. Someone had like an accordion, someone had a trumpet or a saxophone. But what amazed me was the number of people who had tambourines. Like, is that a thing in Spain that everyone has a tambourine?
I don't know, to be honest. So are these people all on lockdown?
They're all on lockdown, but they can come out on their balconies and sort of shout across to each other. And they're all in, you know, it seems a fairly sort of tight-knit area. But they all had tambourines. I thought, like, if that was to happen here, if we were locked down here and people in the street started playing music, I've got fuck all. Like, should, you know, if we're stockpiling stuff, do I need to get a tambourine in?
I think so, but I mean, it's a strange thing to do. But I've seen a lot of footage of people singing as well.
Singing, yeah.
Group singing. It's quite nice.
And there was another great thing. I don't know if it was in Spain or Italy, where the other night a certain time in the evening, and it was all set up sort of on social media, but everyone stood by their windows and on their balconies and sort of went into a round of applause, really. And it was for all the health workers that were still out there working hard. I thought, that's a nice thing.
Oh, that is nice.
Like, would we do that in this country?
No. Well, we really don't know what we're doing at the moment in this country. In fact, I saw actually, funny enough, I was looking at the news earlier on, while they're doing that over there, a nurse in our country got verbal abuse as she was going on to her overtime shift from some people in the hospital.
What?
I think it's basically because she looked a bit foreign.
Oh, good. Oh, good. Yeah. So, oh, come on. So even in the midst of a crisis, when we need everyone who's got any skill and ability to help us, even that can bring people with prejudice to the fore. Isn't that a sad, sad state of affairs?
Virus or not, if you're racist, you've got to make time to be racist.
Yeah. And I suppose if you're real, it makes you even more racist than you were before.
You're probably not patient enough to even try and hide it anymore.
Is that a side effect of coronavirus and no one's telling you? Because I was seeing...
Or being an arsehole.
Yeah. Because I saw recently... I mean, this isn't a funny thing, but I saw last week some poor student who was from China, I think, was just walking in the street and got beaten up. you know, and told, don't bring your virus here. It's like, fucking hell, people.
Charming.
Come on. Unbelievable.
Also, the response seems very strange. At the moment, a lot of countries have gone on full lockdown.
Yeah, yeah.
Borders are closed. No more gatherings of people. 500, 250 some places. Some people as low as 5 or 6 people aren't allowed to get together.
In Austria, they've, I think it's gatherings over 5 people have now been banned.
Yeah.
I mean, what if you've got 6 people in your family? You're fucked up. You've got, one of them's got to go.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Go and sleep on the lawn.
Yes, out you go, mate. We can, we're only 5 here. How do you do that? Like, do you draw lots? I reckon it's a game of Monopoly.
You think so?
Yeah, because if you're locked down for a long time, you might as well get into a game that takes fucking hours. And then whoever loses, that's it. They're just out in the street. That's it, done.
Yeah. That's fair. And of course, this country, we really, at the time of recording this, I think Boris is due to speak in the afternoon, but we know nothing.
No, absolutely nothing. I mean, we're basically being treated as a bit of we're guinea pigs, because they're going to do this thing called herd immunization,
which I've heard doesn't work.
Well, come on, mate, be positive.
Give them a chance, I suppose.
Yeah. What do you mean you've heard it doesn't work?
I think some Italian doctors were quite cross with our government, saying that this idea of herd immunity will not work.
Well, that's that then, isn't it?
That's that fucked, yeah.
Just while you're talking about like an Italian expert, Ben.
Yeah.
I just want to talk about an expert talking about Italy. You know Dr. Christian Jessen, or Jessen, whatever his name is?
I do. He's on that, is it on Embarrassing Bodies, is it?
Embarrassing Bodies, yeah. Well, he caused a little bit of a stir this week by saying that coronavirus was an excuse by Italians to have a siesta.
That's a bit of a stretch, isn't it?
Yeah, he said, it's the Italians, any old excuse in order to shut everything down and do nothing. I mean, honestly.
I think that's a bit racist, isn't it?
Well, it's borderline, isn't it? And, you know, to be honest, I don't want to be taking any advice from someone who's made a smug living out of looking at people's cocks. I was saying last week that I think we should just, everything should just stop and shut down. It was pointed out to me that I hadn't really thought that through. There are some flaws in the argument, I'll give you that. But what I've done is I've thought about it, right? And I still think the basis of it is a good idea. So we basically shut everything down. Everyone stays indoors.
Yeah.
That's it, right? And we employ the army on the streets. They can have all their hazmat suits on, that's fine, right? And they go out on the streets and they basically deliver to every house ration packages.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're still getting goods, but they're rations. You get 4 toilet rolls or whatever it is. Yeah, it can be based on the number of people in your family, I guess. But we now know that you can't have any more than 5 because those people are out there. They're sent to some quarantine building. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I wonder how quickly you go stir crazy, just not able to leave the house.
Well, yeah. I've gone 8 days without leaving the house before.
8 days?
Yeah, I didn't feel I was going stir crazy. It was great. I was like, oh, I don't have to go out today. I'm not going out again today. No reason for me to go out today. And 8 days it went before I had to go out. And even then I thought, shit, I've got to go out.
Really?
Yeah, I don't like going out, Ben. I mean, you know, I like being at home on my own, really. And, you know, this is a good excuse.
Now, do you think you struggled to get to me on Sunday because it was Sunday and the shops open later, close earlier, you have not got as much time, so everyone was just going nuts?
I think that was it. I think because it was the weekend. It was like a scene out of one of those films where people are trying to flee a zombie apocalypse. Just cars, just as far as the eye could see, but not moving.
Oh, wow.
Nothing getting anywhere.
If it carries on like this at the weekends for the sort of unforeseen future, then I guess this could be the new way we record our podcasts for a while.
This could be, yeah. Yeah, which is, it's a bit weird, mate. I'm not enjoying the experience as much because, you know, I can't see you. I can't gauge your response to what I'm talking about. You could be sitting there doing all kinds of, you know, wanker symbols or signs at me. I don't know what's going on.
Well, I tell you,
don't like it.
And you don't get your fresh cups of tea?
No, I've just made a cup of tea, but it's a tea bag here.
No good.
You know,
throw it in the bin.
You've got your teapot. I mean, is that going to be an issue for you? Like, is there going to be a shortage of loose leaf tea?
You know, And I've just realised, I think we are running out of tea.
God, I mean, that's going to be the thing that pushes this country over the edge, isn't it?
Oh, I'll tell you what as well, the dog was very sad you didn't turn up.
Well, I want to talk about dogs in a little while. Okay, let's save that story for the dog section of the podcast.
Okay, I will do. It's not much of a story, but it's more of a sentence, but okay.
Well, I think we've done coronavirus. People are probably sick of talking about coronavirus.
I think so.
We probably have overdone that. Should we perhaps make next week's podcast a coronavirus-free affair? Although we don't know what's going to happen. I mean, you know, I was at a party the other night and that's all we talked about. So, you know.
Well, that's right. There's not much else people are talking about.
But I do want to talk about dogs. Tell me what, you know, Maisie, your dog, she's missing me. I mean, what was she pining? What happened?
Well, to my surprise, because I always think she's incredibly thick, but she seems to have realised that...
No, she's not. She's intelligent. She knows what she's got with me. Do you know what I mean?
She seems to have remembered what day of the week it is. And on Sundays, I look around to sort of see where she's gone. And she'll be sitting by the door, just staring at it, waiting for you to arrive.
Yeah, yes.
And then I think at a certain time in the afternoon, she realised it's obviously for whatever reason not happening today. And she went and slumped off and sulked in her bed for a while.
Did she?
Yeah.
Oh, poor Maisie. I mean, maybe I need to send over something with my scent on it.
No, you're all right.
No, if I post an urgent package to you, what would you want?
Oh, like, good. Something else for me to deliver.
Yeah, what would you want? Like socks, underpants? I mean, what would she prefer?
Maybe just socks.
Socks. Okay.
Yeah, I don't really want your used underpants in my house.
All right. Well, I'll send you a pair of socks that she can nuzzle up against. But I was talking about dogs, right? By the way, did you watch any of Crufts?
Funny enough, no.
Did you not watch any of Crufts?
No.
I love a bit of Crufts. It's an incredible thing. Because it's become like it's a proper sporting event now. Do you know what I mean?
Is it really?
Yeah, Claire Boarding hosts it. So it's got to be a sporting event if she's hosting it. She hosts every sporting event ever. So it's a proper official sporting thing.
Okay.
I don't think they have Sean Williamson singing, though, but perhaps they should.
Yeah, he's just the bowls guy. We've talked about him, haven't we? He does the bowls.
Yeah, yeah. But I don't know if they have anyone sing. If that's something for next year, I might write to them and say, do you have, like when I get to the big finale on the Sunday, best in show.
Yeah.
Do they have a singer, you know, just to warm the crowd up? But the winner this year was like a little, I don't know what breed it was. It was like a little Dachshund thing. But after being announced the winner, it had a big shit.
Oh, lovely.
So, and the thing was, the camera like stayed on it and it was like, it was showing it in all its detail. Oh. And I thought, that's unnecessary, isn't it? I mean, it's just been announced as the best dog of the year. And now it's sort of saying, well, fuck you, I'm having a big old shit.
Yeah. I mean, credit to the dog. It's my sentiments exactly with that waste of time.
Waste of time? I mean, that.
Crufts, rubbish.
What do you mean, rubbish? What do you mean, rubbish?
How many times can you watch the same thing of a dog sort of running through a hoop or round a fence? Oh, who cares?
They had these rescue dogs this year who, I don't know if they do it every year, but they had these rescue dogs. And one of them, they're obviously not as well trained to do things, or perhaps they don't know what they're doing. And this one, he just went errant. He picked up it's one of the things he's meant to jump over. He just picked up and ran around with it in his mouth. And he was wrecking the joint, but he was having the time.
Really?
Yeah, he was having the time of his life though. It's fucking amazing.
At least he had fun.
That's what it's all about, isn't it? And the only thing I don't like about the Crufts thing is I think a dog should be seen in its, just in its kind of, I mean, I'm not saying let it get, you've got to take care of a dog, but all this sort of, you know, puffing up of the fur, you know, and all that. You know, those kind of poodles that have all that puffed upness about them.
Oh, the very sort of poofy hair, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they want that, those dogs, do they?
What?
They must look in the mirror and think, what the fuck have you done?
You could be right.
Put yourself in the position of a dog, Ben.
Okay.
And seeing as you've got a dog, you could probably do this quite easily. You know, you can probably put yourself in Maisie's position. I mean, let's think about Maisie. If you were to show Maisie at Crufts and you decide, well, I need to poof her fur up a little bit more.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine what she would think. What would she... How would she respond to that?
I don't think she'd be too interested at all, really. She's never been one for She just likes to sleep and see you at the moment. That's her life.
That's it. I mean, she's quite old now, isn't she? Bless her.
She's very old, yeah.
She sort of, when I arrive, she sort of hurriedly limps towards me.
I know. Yeah. She's an old girl with bad limbs, bad joints.
But I learned something about dog owners, not about dogs really this week, dog owners. So my mate has got a lovely dog called Dynamite, okay? And I discovered this week that there is an app. And I can't remember what it's called, but there's an app. It's basically like a Fitbit for your dog.
Okay.
Right. And I said to him, I sort of feel this is unnecessary, really. I mean, if you're taking your dog out for a long walk, you don't need to know exactly how many kilometres it's walked, do you, really?
Not really. I mean, I don't know who that information's benefiting.
So he sent me one of the pages from Dynamite's activity, right? So on this particular day, Dynamite did 45 minutes walking, 145 minutes running, 80 minutes playing. I don't know how the app differentiates sort of running from playing.
No.
It rested for 10.8 hours. And then this is my favourite one. It pottered. It has pottering 4.9 hours.
Wow.
I mean, is that...
Is that just like ambling along, not really doing much?
Yeah, I don't know. Like when I'm pottering about, do you know what I mean? I'm sort of, when you potter about the house, you're just doing menial jobs, aren't you? You know, you're sort of putting things away in cupboards and you're just pottering about. I don't know if that's what dogs are doing when they're pottering. What's a dog's definition of pottering?
I've got no idea. That, what a strange term to use for a dog.
I know. It sort of made me laugh.
Do they do that event at Crufts, the potter?
I haven't seen them do the potter.
No.
No, I don't think that's part of the behavioural, you know, demonstrations that need to be seen by the judges at Crufts.
It should be.
They should have, like, best potterer.
Yeah.
Like, you know, what sort of dog would be... I reckon Maisie is a potterer. I think she would have a chance at that.
I think she could win that one.
Yeah. But I was looking up other apps you can get for your dog, and some of them make sense, you know, right? If you're training your dog, there's one called Pupper, P-U-P-P-R.
Okay.
And it's like an app where it's step-by-step photo instructions with a built-in clicker. So when you're training your dog, and that kind of makes sense. Then there's sort of apps for if you're looking for a particular dog or a dog walker, for example. But then there's ones I don't understand, like dog barking app.
A dog barking app?
Yeah. It's a human-to-dog translator.
No, it isn't.
Yeah. It can translate what your dog is trying to tell you. And then you'll know how to respond in the right manner.
Utter bullshit. It does no such thing.
No, I think we should try this, right? So I think we should get the app, and then over a period of a week or so, you should try that with Maisie. You should see if you can work out, because she might be saying, "Where's Trev?" And
yeah, she might be. I'll give it a go. Is it a free app? Because I'm not spending money on it.
I don't know if it's a free app. But, you know, it's not going to be much, is it? Come on. You know.
If it's less than a quid, I'll go for it.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Have you ever heard of the Fregoli delusion?
Oh, wow, this has gone very intelligent all of a sudden. The Fregoli delusion.
The Fregoli delusion.
Never heard of it.
It's a disorder when a person will hold a delusional belief that different people are in fact a single person who might be stalking them or following them everywhere they go.
That's a weird one.
Yeah, now the only reason I found out about this was because I saw something this week that I've got to tell you. Initially, I thought this is taking the piss. I didn't think this was actually a real thing until I watched it. Now, there's a soap opera, and I'm calling it a soap opera, and it's on in the afternoons on BBC One called Doctors.
Oh, I've seen bits of it. It looks dreadful.
Well, I'd never really seen it. It's been on for years, though, I think. It's been on for a long, long time.
It has.
And I saw this thing this week that they were covering. I didn't know it was called the Fregoli delusion at this point, but I just read this article that said basically the storyline was a woman thought Joe Pasquale was stalking them.
Oh, come on, you see what I mean? It's terrible.
So I watched it. I watched the episode, and it was true. They had Joe Pasquale in it, and they had this woman who believed that Joe Pasquale was stalking her. So everywhere she went, she would see Joe Pasquale, and it would start off with it not being Joe Pasquale. It would be whoever the character was meant to be, and she'd be going, "Look, leave me alone! I keep telling you, leave me alone!" And then there'd be a neat edit, and it would cut back to that character, and it would have Joe Pasquale there.
Okay, and what a weird episode!
It was one of the most bizarre things I've ever seen, because it wasn't sort of being taken too seriously. They had Joe Pasquale there, so you might as well try and make it funny, or perhaps he can't deliver a serious line. I don't know, but it was sort of, I couldn't work out, is this supposed to be funny, or is this supposed to be highlighting a serious mental illness? I couldn't quite work it out.
I'm really curious as to what exactly happened for that episode to exist. Was it like someone realised, we've got Joe Pasquale booked, why? I don't really know, but we've got him in the book.
Yeah,
he's coming here.
I was thinking more that they thought of the storyline, because as I say, this program's been running a long time. They're probably running out of medical conditions, and they probably just don't want to focus on coronavirus at the moment. So they probably look through the you know, the dictionary of medical conditions. Oh, the Fregoni delusion. We haven't covered that yet. But I wonder how high they set the bar on the celebrity. And no disrespect to Joe Pasquale, but how low they ended up.
Oh, well, I'm willing to bet he was available.
Because, I mean, basically they set the story up that the woman that kept seeing him had first sort of seen him, because it was, did he win the I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here or something?
Yeah, a few years ago, yeah.
So that was how the story kind of unfolded, that was how. And they'd met him in a cafe or something, and then ever since then, she believed that everyone she saw was basically Joe Pasquale. And but it just makes you think, like, it was, for me, it was one of those jump the shark moments.
Definitely.
If people don't know what a jump the shark moment is, it all goes back to Happy Days, which was a sitcom in the 70s with the Fonz. And the Fonz jumped a shark.
Yeah, on water skis.
Yeah, and it was sort of believed that from that point, even though it ran for another, I think Happy Days ran for another 5 or 6 series after that particular episode. But I think that was the moment people thought, I think it's had its time.
You know? Yeah.
And I think a lot of shows get to that point and then they just go all out. And I kind of felt that with Doctors, I thought, this is their jump the shark moment, isn't it?
It sounds like it, yeah. I mean, I've got my own moments from TV, even TV that I love, where I think, you know what, jump the shark there. It's a bit too ridiculous, that, for me. One of my examples of this is actually from, now this isn't going to go down well with people, Only Fools and Horses.
Oh, okay.
There's an episode of that, which is obviously a beloved British sitcom, but there's an episode of that called Miami Twice. And I won't go into detail because I'm sure people are familiar with it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's an okay episode. It's not one of my favourites.
It's not. No, let's be honest, mate. I mean, I love Only Fools and Horses, but that is shit. Shit episode.
The premise of it is that Del's on holiday and he happens to look exactly the same as a mafia boss. And they try and assassinate him to make it look like the stage death of the mafia boss to get him off the hook for some legal stuff.
Yeah.
And the whole thing plays out and you just think, this is fucking ludicrous.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the thing was, I think that Only Fools and Horses is slightly different because I think that was its jump the shark moment, but it survived after that and had some classic episodes after that.
Oh, it recovered from it. It was fine.
Whereas a lot of shows, I don't think, recover from their jump the shark moments.
No, a lot of them don't. I know one that really crashed and burned was, I have never seen it, but Mrs. Ben watches it, or watched it, Lost.
Oh, yeah, I never saw that.
Apparently, there's a bit in it where they're all on this island, and then somewhere in the middle of the series, the island disappears.
Right.
An island vanishes. And she said at that point, I thought, what the fuck is going on? This is just terrible.
Was there any reason given for it disappearing?
No, I think Lost got absolutely panned by most people for just losing the plot and just becoming so confusing and not knowing what the hell it was doing. But no, I don't think there was any reason at all. Well, there probably was a plot reason, but whether or not it was ever revealed, I've got no idea.
I mean, I think soap operas do it quite a lot, don't they? I mean, you know, some of the famous ones, like in Dallas, there was a whole series that turned out to be a dream.
Was that a whole series, like a whole series, or was it the whole show from start to finish had been a dream?
No, just one series, because they had, I can't remember the actor's name, is it Patrick Duffy, who played one of the Ewings? And he'd been killed in a road accident at the end of one of the seasons, season four, I think it was. And he basically thought he was going to go off and do amazing things in the acting world. And I don't think it really panned out that way. So he decided to come back at the start of what would have been season six, I guess. So the whole of season five, if I've got those seasons wrong, forgive me, but who gives a shit that much? he came back and they just thought, well, how are we going to get around this? Because he was killed off. Oh, well, we'll just make that whole series was just a dream.
I mean, that's like how children write, isn't it? That's like... 101 lazy writing. Oh, and then it was all a dream.
Yeah, I mean, the British Empire. Are you familiar with that? Are you too young for the British Empire?
I know I am familiar with the British Empire. It would have been too old for me, but my wife loves it, so I have seen it, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I loved it. I was quite young when it first came out, and I still watch the old episode when it's on UK TV Gold or whatever it is now. But I was really pissed off when that came to an end in the final episode. You ever seen the final episode?
I have a vague memory of it. I do remember it was shite. I can't remember why, though.
Well, because the whole thing was a dream. The whole thing. It turned out that he was on the way to the interview for the job of manager of the leisure centre, and he'd fallen asleep on the train, and basically all the characters were other passengers on the train that he dreamed were his staff for the whole fucking 10 years or however much that ran. They just fobbed it all off as a dream. Ridiculous.
Oh, that's a slap in the face to the fans. That's terrible.
It was. It was awful. It was awful. And they're talking of bringing it back. I've read a few times they're going to bring the... How are you going to bring it back when you've already said it was all a dream anyway?
Well, what you do is, mate, you say that last episode was a dream.
Oh, that was the dream.
It was a dream of a dream. And then carry on with the show.
And then other things like, you know, when they bring people back from the dead. Dirty Den in EastEnders, of course, most famously.
Yeah.
He was shot. I remember watching that episode when he was shot and he fell in the canal. And then years later, he suddenly appeared again. I mean, I suppose they never found his body. That's almost excusable.
Yeah, I heard, speaking of EastEnders, that possibly the longest working actor ever, June Brown, is leaving the show. She plays Doc Cotton. I wondered, do you think they're going to offer?
Oh, I don't know, because I think they might leave the door open for her. Because I think she's moved. I was reading when she announced she wasn't going back that she'd moved off. So, I mean, they'll kill her off eventually from a distance. I don't think she'll have a kind of last emotional goodbye.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
So she's just leaving, and we're not going to have a who killed Dot storyline.
No, I don't think so. I mean, Dot, I haven't watched EastEnders for years, but she's got a very special place in my heart, because when I did watch some EastEnders in the past, my favourite episode was her off her tits on cannabis. I mean, that was a cracking episode. Absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
But the EastEnders, they also brought... what was her name? Kathy Beale. She came back from the dead. I think she was another one they brought back from the dead.
Now, had she died properly, or was there some way they explained that?
Well, no, she was reported to have been killed off camera, supposedly in South Africa. So I suppose they could say that it was a you know, the wrong body or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Just ludicrous.
Harold Bishop from Neighbours, he came back from the dead.
Of course, yeah. Didn't he disappear off a rock?
Yeah, and they only found his glasses.
Yeah. I'll tell you the other sitcom that had a dream element to it was Roseanne.
Right.
I think it was the final series when it finished back in must have been the 90s, I suppose. And I know it recently came back, and then she had to leave her own sitcom because she expressed some racist views. So she's no longer in it. But I think the final episode when... John Goodman, who played her husband Dan, had left the series. And I think they kind of... I don't know if they killed him off, or he'd gone off and had an affair, I think was the story. And then they all won the lottery And there was all this, it was all kind of so unbelievable. And then I think in the very final episode, they kind of revealed that all of that final series had been her dream again. It was like, oh, what a terrible way to finish it.
That really is poor.
Yeah. So let's look for more Jump the Shark moments. If you've got any, let us know, because we do. I think there are lots of these. And the thing is, a lot of these, I don't think you'll be giving away spoilers if you've not seen them.
No, I mean, a lot of these are very old shows.
Yeah, yeah. So let us know. We're at Trev and Ben on Twitter. I think I've made a biological and evolutionary breakthrough this week, Ben. Not personally, just an observation.
Okay.
So I was at a party the other night, and one of my friends turned up surprisingly with a moustache.
Oh,
and you know, I mean, it sort of worked on him. I mean, I don't know many people with a tash apart from when sort of Movember hits.
Yeah.
So it caused quite a stir amongst the group of friends, right? We were all talking about this facial hair that had appeared. And what we discovered was that really we had hair envy. And it suddenly struck me that we're all of the same age and none of us are particularly hirsute and so can't really grow facial hair. I mean, I'm at this point in my life now where I've never been able to really grow proper facial hair. Even stubble was disappointing on me, right? But it's fucking white now. I'm so old that I grow white, stubbly shit, but I can't even grow a distinguished grey beard.
Really?
Yeah, and all of my friends are the same. We're like, none of us can grow proper facial hair. And I think that, I've not heard anyone pick up on this, that I think as the generations move on, as we evolve, we're gradually getting rid of the ability to grow decent facial hair. We don't need it. And I don't think anyone's noticed this or talked about it. I think there needs to be a study done because I think people certainly of my age and younger, because you're not, you know, I don't know, you're not particularly a hairy man.
No, in fact, you've just made me feel better. I hope your theory is proved to be correct because I cannot grow a beard for love nor money. I can get,
there you
I get
go.
Patches. I get little patches of hair and I get a bit of a tash going, but I don't really like Movember. I mean, it's a very good cause, but it always humiliates me for not being able to grow a moustache.
So, I mean, people your age, if you've got mates around your age, do you know anyone that can grow decent facial hair?
No, again, not many of my mates have beards, really.
No, because we can't grow them.
I'm glad that you've said that, because I was starting to think that proper men have proper beards, and I must, you know, not be a proper man.
No, mate.
Oh, good.
No, we're proper men.
Good.
We're proper men. Of course we are proper men. Do you know what I mean? We can do, you know, everything manly except that. I mean, if I had a list in front of me of all the things that would make one manly, I could probably take them all except that one. I mean, I might be fooling myself a little bit there. I mean, I can't really use a hammer that well, or a drill, or any power tools. And in fact, I've spent this morning painting and I haven't even done a very good job on that.
Right.
So, you know, the list of things I can tick is diminishing quite quickly, but certainly facial hair I can't do. So I just think there needs to be a study. You know, people study all kinds of things. I'm not saying do it now. I think all science minds should be on the coronavirus.
Yeah, it's not going to be a priority, is it, this one?
Once we're over the crisis, you know. I mean, it's the sort of thing that perhaps David Attenborough, now that he's 90-odd and he's going to be part of the over 70s that are going to have to isolate for 4 months, it's the sort of thing he could put his mind to. And then, you know, he's studied animals and evolution and the human race. And I could see, you know, it's the sort of thing he could do in his time of self-isolation. So I'm not saying it can't happen now, but I'm saying that the active science community probably shouldn't devote their time to it. So that's it for another Trev and Ben podcast.
Just before we finish, we've been doing a couple of our news stories recently, and I've been sent another absolute belter from my mate Andy, who sent me another one.
Oh, is this your headlines?
Yeah, the headlines.
Okay.
Now, I should point out that the story is actually quite grisly.
Oh, you sick bastard.
The story itself involves a double murder, so nothing funny there.
Oh, keep it light, mate.
But it was the headline which just blew me away on this one. Police say man with no hands and no legs is armed and on the run.
Yeah, give the headline writer a medal. Unbelievable. Well, thanks very much for listening and downloading. Don't forget to subscribe and review. And God willing and coronavirus willing, we'll catch you again next week. Take it easy.
Bye.